Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Working Experience Podcast. We have an exciting new set of segments for you. We have a book. It's called The Working Experience, A Work in Progress. What do you think about that title, John?
Exciting might be a little bit too much because
Riveting.
Matt is reading verbatim from the book. It's more of a nighttime thing. Maybe
Not
you set this up and
doze
you just
off.
slip into dreamland.
Yeah. Well, not only am I reading it, I wrote it. So it's even more scintillating.
Oh, you could. This is hibernation period then. This is not just sleep, this is hibernation.
You know what word I like to use for it? Titillating. I like to use that word as much as possible in conversations. Titillating. It's titillating,
Well,
everyone.
there you have it, folks. A titillating experience of book excerpts. We hope you enjoy it.
Thanks, everybody.
The working experience.
Route 93 North is almost at a standstill. It's a rough one out there this morning. Snow and sleet.
There is no service on
Stand
the...
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Yeah, folks. We're going to be a few minutes. We have train traffic ahead of us. We should be moving shortly.
John, we need that report ASAP.
Where are we on that presentation?
Man, HR wants to see you.
Did you return that email yet?
We have a team meeting at 10.
To stay late, Bob.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
They're moving in a different direction.
And after the meeting, we'll have a breakout session.
Who ate my
Where are my hot pockets?
This microwave is disgusting.
Oh, God, what's that
He was
smell?
Clipping his
Sexual
toenails at
harassment.
His desk. I can't take it anymore.
Hey, everybody. This is Maddie Kay from the Working Experience Podcast. We have a book. It's called The Working Experience, A Work in Progress. Shopping it around to different publishers, things like that. But for now, I thought for these segments, I'll be reading portions of the book for you to sample. Please like us wherever you're supposed to like us and give us some feedback on what you think of the book. I'll try to be as entertaining as possible. I promise. Thank you and enjoy. So for this segment, I guess I'll call it segment number two. I'd like to start off by reiterating that creativity to me, a huge part of it is about learning. I think people can learn a lot in the process of creating something. The process reveals things about human nature, about society, many different things. And I think the most valuable things it reveals is about ourselves, our strengths, our weaknesses, our vulnerabilities, etc. I think at its heart, like something truly creative, the process reveals the truth. And sometimes that is very scary. I think all the time that is very scary if you're really getting into it. But at the same time, it's very exciting. And it's necessary. So the podcast taught me that I have a skill that I never knew I possessed. I enjoy interviewing people and I'm pretty good at it. It was nerve-wracking at first because I thought something would go wrong with the technology, that we wouldn't be able to connect on Skype with the guests. And some issues have arisen with that, but the process has been very satisfying. I've also learned through our research about appreciation. There are many people in this world for whom fulfillment does not play any role in the jobs they have to do. They have to survive. They clean hotel rooms and wash dishes and work at Walmart and wait tables and take orders at fast food restaurants because they need to feed their kids. They need to pay the rent, they need to buy clothes, period. Are they looking to their boss for a sense of well-being? I would say probably not. They're looking for a paycheck. As I say, creativity is about learning. We have tried many different formats for the podcast that have bombed. Our social media campaigns have failed. We have no social media presence. Our Patreon account has sold four, count them, four t-shirts, and I bought all four. We have tried to get listeners to contact us with funny stories, and no one did. As far as I know, no one looks at our website, no one likes our podcasts and social media. Almost no one outside of our families have bothered to post reviews. We lose money every month. So what? The most important thing that I have learned is there is no secret that anyone else knows that I do not. There is no special skill that anyone else possesses that I do not. You have to do something because you feel that it's worthwhile, not because everyone else does. Bottom line, try stuff and see what works. Chapter 1, Flying Blind. Pat Quinn is one of the creators and producers of the wildly popular Life of Dad series. When I interviewed him for an episode of the Working Experience podcast, he talked about how he and his partners developed their brand. The thing that really stood out to me is how many things they tried before becoming so popular. They shot videos of themselves as babies wearing Depends undergarments, crawling through a field. They did stuff outside of a grocery store, trying to interact with shoppers, and all kinds of other stuff. However, it was Pat shooting a video of himself trying to balance a stack of Cheerios on his infant daughter's chin that went viral. It became known as the Cheerio Challenge. Even President Obama was doing it. Pat had not intended this to happen. It was just a lark, but there you go. Creativity involves a lot of flying blind. There is no quote-unquote right way to do it. There's no template. If there were, it wouldn't be creative. How do you know what to do? How do you know what will work? You don't. No one does. There's no set of instructions. There is something to be said about looking at what other people have done and how they have been successful, but anyone who tells you that they know what is going to be successful is either lying or delusional. You've just got to keep trying things and see what sticks. John and I talked for years about doing something creative. We floated ideas back and forth, mostly involving video, because that seemed to be the best medium for reaching people, especially a younger audience. We had an idea for a life coach who gave terrible advice and whose own life was going down the tubes and had no business coaching anyone in anything, but we never did anything with it. Around 2005, we did a character called Date Video Guy and actually shot a mock video and threw it up on YouTube. It got some pretty decent numbers, but we never followed through. The thing is, everyone has a great idea or two, but then you have to develop it. Someone actually has to sit down and write it. Then you have to find a place to shoot it, get people to act in it, get someone to edit the video, post it on YouTube and social media. Once people realize that it is actual work, it often falls apart. Sometimes people will get it together to shoot a few videos, but then they lose interest when it is not an overnight success and nothing else happens. That happens all the time. Creativity is work. It's a grind. I had to learn that. I've always written, mostly scripts and short stories. I did a couple of short films that never went anywhere, and short films can be expensive. Writing is obviously much cheaper, but it is difficult to get any feedback, and I've never had anything published. In 2015, I finished a 430-page novel called Bromides. I enjoyed writing it, and I'm quite pleased with the finished product. I'm proud that there is a finished product. However, it's hard to put so much time and energy into something when no one seems to be interested in publishing it. Though I did recently start sending out some query letters and chapter samples again, so I guess we'll see what happens. I do a lot of that, waiting to see what happens. In 2016, John and I started talking about videos that we could shoot for little money, on the cheap. So we brainstormed different ideas about what might be funny and feasible. I also accidentally learned a valuable piece of information. I was substitute teaching at a high school, basically just sitting in the classroom while the kids played on their phones. One girl was trying to show another girl a video, and the other girl said, 6 minutes? I'm not watching that. It is rather disturbing that a 17-year-old doesn't have the attention span to watch a 6-minute video, but it did cause me to have an epiphany. Less is more. Shoot very short videos, 2 minutes tops, less than a minute ideally, only two or three actors, minimal props, and aim for something funny. So I started writing up 2 to 3 page scenarios about a creepy weirdo named Brian Stiglitz. He works in an office and is constantly complaining to human resources that no one will be friends with him, or people are making fun of him, or making excuses for not showing up to work. On the other hand, his coworkers complain that he is telling inappropriate jokes, that he smells like urine, and that he is stalking them. I found a recording studio close to me that specializes in music but also does videos. I went and talked over the project with the owners, and they agreed to shoot the videos, provide sound, and edit them for a very reasonable price. They were also able to find an office location for us to shoot for free. That was huge. Finding a place where you can actually shoot is one of the biggest pains in the ass. I recruited a friend of mine from college, Steve, to play Mr. Hegley, the HR manager, and I played Brian. We kept it simple, just the two of us sitting at a table doing dialogue. That went pretty well, so I wrote in another character, a woman, and went on Boston Casting, where I found Gigi Jackson to play the role of my female coworker, who has a number of complaints about Brian. As we went on, I wrote in some more characters and worked with more actors. We posted the videos on YouTube and social media outlets like Twitter and Facebook, but they barely got any views at all. I think the ones we did get were almost all from family or friends. The cost of shooting even those short little videos added up, and while I enjoyed doing them and I thought they came out well, I wasn't going to keep spending money just for the sake of it. I love creating content, but there are practical considerations. We needed something sustainable that wasn't going to cost a lot of money. John did the numbers and figured out that a podcast costs us about $250 a month, unless we're going to try something such as hiring a social media expert, which I will discuss later, which we did do. It is a medium with which I was very unfamiliar, but it's all about getting out of your comfort zone. I learned. It took time, and I made mistakes, but I learned. Okay, so we were going to do a podcast. How do you do that? Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. I'll be back at you real soon with Chapter 2. Again, like us wherever you're supposed to like us. Keep listening. We'll be back with more guests, and John and I might even be able to pull together a podcast with each other. All right, folks, thanks a lot for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Working Experience. We'd like to thank our sponsors, One Circle Media. If you work for a studio, network, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain your audience, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I would love to hear from you. And that's it. The end. The sweet end. Until our next audio encounter.